This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the problems of a black filmmaker. Tonight's guest, Melvin Van Peebles, the first black man to direct a feature motion picture. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. The guest for this evening on Night Call is Melvin Van Peebles, the author of 5 books, the recording artist, the composer, and also the director of The Story of the 3-Day Pass. What is so unique is not just the emergence of a 20th century Renaissance man, an artist who expresses his feelings in all the art media, but that he is a black American and the first black American to ever direct a feature film. And ironically enough, that film was made in France. Mr. Van Peebles' comment on that was, and we quote, "The situation in France film-wise, even for a Frenchman, is very difficult. For a foreigner, it's impossible. Yet, even with those odds, it was easier there for me than here. That's a hell of an indictment of something," unquote. Standing by in New York City is Mr. Van Peebles to answer your questions on the cinema and the black director and other art forms. Mr. Van Peebles, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Dale. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, and thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, Dale.
Mr. Van Peebles, why did you make The Story of the 3-Day Pass in France?
Well, I made it in France because I wouldn't let me make it here. I mean, I'm the first black director, and I went down to Hollywood about 3 years ago and asked for, you know, 10 years ago with 3 films, asked for a job, and the guy said, "Great, we need an elevator operator." So that's about the size, you know. So I went off to France.
Would you give us an idea of some of the problems encountered in making a film of the enormity of the 3-Day Pass?
Yes, well, first, there's a major problem of bread. And I mean, without money, you just can't do it. And a film, even a low-budget film, is an enormous sum of money. I mean, it's probably one of the most expensive mediums. That one cost $200,000, and that's considered a very low budget even in France, and in Hollywood they can't even count that low. I mean, that's sort of like 2 secretaries pay you, dude. And I'd made a couple of short films in France. I'd made a couple in America, and I made 10 in all, but I kept winning these prizes and so forth, but I didn't see the doors opening to that long film. And then I realized that to make a long film, you either, I was speaking of in France, you either had to have a name of some size, or your daddy had to have some bread. Well, my father did have some, which he doesn't. I'm sure he wasn't getting up off any of it. And name I didn't have. So I started to, again, that's after I spent about 2.5 years in France. I started off covering murder trials and got a couple of lucky scoops there, and almost got myself done away with, hacked to pieces sometimes, shot it. Anyway, I've got a little name there. Then I published one book, and so I got a bigger name, so forth. And finally, I ended up publishing 4 novels and directed a play there. Then I went over to the center of the French cinema and asked for a director's card, because there's a French law that says a French writer has a right to bring his own creation to the screen. Well, so I was writing in French, so that made me a French writer, you dig? At least technically, I hoped that they would look at it that way, and they did. And so then after that, I went to another place where there are subsidies for films of artistic merit, and I asked for some bread, and they gave me some. And then after that, I just went right out on the streets and knocked at all the producers' doors until I found one who would come up with the rest of the money. And I made the film.
What is the story of the three-day pass?
Well, it's sort of an ironic, it's a love story in short, but it's sort of ironic also in another way. It's a story of a black GI in France who's given a three-day 3 day pass by his commanding officer, his captain. Now, the captain really sort of a fluke. The captain gives him this 3 day pass because he thinks that the guy is a good black, you dig? You know, he knows his place and all that. Actually, that is, he didn't hit on any of the French chicks, i.e. white chicks. Actually, the guy isn't really good. He's just awkward. You know, I mean, he's a real lame cat. He doesn't know how to score. And so as luck would have it, he takes his 3 day pass and off he goes and he scores. And it's a story of those 3 days.
Since you have directed a number of films, do you feel that the cinema is the major form of art expression in this 20th century?
Well, as you know, I started off painting, and I wasn't doing that too bad. But anyway, I looked around. I didn't feel painting at that time was getting the message across to the people I wanted to get my message across to. So then I went to writing, and I was still in San Francisco. I published one book, and I still didn't feel that I was reaching the people I wanted to reach. And then for the first time, I really asked myself, what are the cats I want to meet? And I figured they were sitting in the cinema in front of that telly, you know, a television set. So I said, well, boom, that's where I have to go. So that's how I went into cinema. And actually that trip is an answer in itself. I mean, that's why I went to cinema, because I feel that's where it's at. I feel that's the medium that the people I at least want to talk to are interested in, or even not even interested in, they're captive victims of an awful lot. I feel that a great deal of brainwashing of the black goes along in the cinema. It's subconsciously, subliminally, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how I started in the cinema.
More and more we see in the ghettos across the country an opportunity for people to become involved in filmmaking. Do you see a connection between the ghetto kids? Should their feelings on films that they are creating themselves be made about themselves?
I don't know. You see, if they should be just made about themselves in the narrow sense of the term, I'm sure they should be made about themselves, and they will be made about themselves in the larger sense of the term. But you see, I don't think that the cat has to allow the man to back him into any type of cultural bag. If he wants to make a film about China, it's going to be China seen through the eyes of a ghetto kid in New York. He's a ghetto kid in New York, you dig? If he does about his own immediate surroundings, that's cool too. But whatever he does, it's going to be his thing. Now, you touch on what I consider a very sensitive problem. That is, what he sees through his eyes, an alternative culture. I think one of the biggest problems facing the black artists in America today is the refusal of the white man to admit that there's a black alternative culture. And this culture is even invisible to him. I mean, it's a part of, it just doesn't exist. The only time he'd be acknowledged music was to go down to steal a bit.
Our conversation tonight is The Problems of a Black Filmmaker, and our guest calling in from New York City is Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, the first black man to direct a feature motion picture. And a reminder to our Night Call listeners that Night Call is your show. We always depend upon you for an exchange of conversation, for ideas, as well as your viewpoint. And our telephone numbers, if you're calling in locally, it's 866-5010. That's 866-5010. If you're calling in from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling in from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. We'll take our first Night Call listener tonight from Omaha, Nebraska. Mr. Cornell is hearing Night Call over KBON. Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Dell?
How are you?
Hi, boy. Say, I didn't get the first name of this fine gentleman there.
Mr. Melvin Van Peebles.
Melvin. Yes, right. I have it.
All right.
Mr. Van Peeble, I hope I said that right.
Yeah, that's close enough for government work.
We've read so much about you, and we're so happy to hear about the accomplishments you've made in the theatrical field, entertainment field. As a matter of fact, we in Omaha are very, very proud of a man that we have, a black man, by the name of Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson. great pitcher of the St. Louis Cardinals. Had you thought, Melvin, of any chance to get that man enlisted in the your line of entertainment? Don't you think he has possibilities? We think Gibson's the greatest guy in the world out here in the Middle West.
Well, I mean, he probably is the greatest guy out there in the world in the Middle West, and probably other places too. I mean, he really pitched, you know, a great game. Now, I don't know if a person is one field relates that accurately or that rapidly from one to the other. You know, I mean, I don't know if he makes films or not. I know I'm a very poor pitcher, but he might be a great director. I mean, it just never crossed my mind, you know.
Yeah, that's why I brought it to your attention, Melvin. I thought perhaps if you'd look into his possibilities. He's been on television, and he's over in Japan playing baseball right now. But Bob has a lot of possibilities, we think, at least, Melvin, in the theatrical field. I wonder if you'd take time sometime when you, in your busy day, to check into his possibilities of becoming something other than a baseball pitcher.
Well, I mean, I would like to say yes, but I'd be lying. That is, you know, that step would have to be made by him. If someone comes to me with the possibility of a financing of a film using him, cool, great. But, you know, where the thing stands, you know, it doesn't just look that way. To be cordial, say yes would be doing an in-service to you and to him. I mean, the difficulty inherent for a black man to make a film is so overwhelming until I don't know if I can, at this stage of the game, take on the responsibility of working with Mr. Gibson unless he expressed himself a very immediate and very urgent desire to, you know, work in films. You did.
I understand.
Well, considering that Mr. Gibson will probably be busy pitching over the next 3 or 4 years, he's still got some years left.
Right.
And but I haven't had a chance to see Bob on television at all. How does he come across, Mr. Cornell?
Wonderful. I think he's great. He's natural. He's a probably not like Dizzy Dean, but he's a great. The only question, Melvin, that I'm asking you, I'm not prejudging the man. I'm only asking you, please, sir, in your position, you do have a lot of authority. The American public knows that. If you would just check a little bit, if you would.
Well, no. Wait a minute. Now, I ain't going to say yes because the answer is no.
No, I know.
Let me explain why. That Gibson is very good as a pitcher now. He's doing a great deal for the furthering of the black image in his
life. Right.
There are many black actors waiting and starving who need a chance. I'm sure that Mr. Gibson wouldn't want to preempt those chances of the others by stepping into another field just as a second sideline. You understand what I'm saying?
I certainly am.
So I think the most important thing to get done at the moment, baby, is to get some of these other cats on. Mr. Gibson's got his thing going right now. And if in 4 years, we'll talk about it, you know?
Fine.
And if his arm gives out for the moment, I think it's very cool. Now, you is out there in Omaha plugging him and so forth. That's great, and I'm sure he's going to live up to all those things, but it just ain't the time, you dig?
Mr. Cornell, thank you for calling,
yes,
sir.
I see, but just 1 second, please. I think I've made my point. At least you know who we're talking about. We're talking about Bob Gibson in Omaha.
Right.
I think everybody got your point, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, our conversation, The Problems of a Black Filmmaker, and our guest calling in is Mr. Melvin Van Peebles. This time out to Tampa, Florida, Mr. Funkhauser is hearing Night Call over WFLA. Mr. Funkhauser?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you, and thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thank you for calling, sir.
I have a couple of questions for your guest tonight.
Go ahead, shoot. I'm listening.
One, I want to say that why did you particularly pick France instead of any other country? Why didn't you pick Germany or some other country like that? Why France?
Well, actually, I was invited. I was living in Holland at the time. I was invited by the French Museum. This is the very world-renowned Henri Langlois. Saw some of my earlier films that Hollywood refused to give me an entrance to and invited me to France. That's how I happened to end up in France, very simply. And that was the first time anyone had given me the slightest nice bit of encouragement. If it come from Frankfurt or from Tokyo, I'd be there.
I understand. And where were you getting most of your revenue from?
What do you mean, where?
From what source?
You mean for the film?
Yeah.
From a French producer. It was a French-produced film.
I know this, but what I'm trying to get at is right at first, when you first got going.
When I first got going, young girls.
Come again?
Young girls, old girls, middle-aged girls.
Oh, I see. And they gave you your money for that?
No, they didn't give me my money for that. They gave me my money for other things, but that's how I spent it.
Oh, I see what you're getting at. I want to wish you the best of luck in it, and I hope you do real well.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Problems of a Black Filmmaker, our conversation with Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, our guest tonight calling in from New York. We'll return to Mr. Van Peebles right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest filmmaker Melvin Van Peebles after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
We're trying to bring about change in this nation through nonviolent channels. Now, if we cannot do it through nonviolence, there are other forces that are going to lead people down a violent path, and the nation will be destroyed.
Ralph Abernathy on apathy and violence. And a white industrialist says jobs will save us from a racial inferno.
It's better to learn and earn than to burn, baby, burn. Now, these are the changes in attitude that spring from the community as a whole to try to work with these people, not just work on them, and to have industry reach into the area and try to recruit and hire the guy that's qualified and to get the other fellow to take training so he, too, can get a job.
Speak for yourself on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to Night Call guest Melvin Van Peebles about the problems of a black filmmaker. Call Night Call collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. 5010. Again, Del Shields.
Our conversation tonight, The Problems of a Black Filmmaker, our guest calling in from New York City, Melvin Van Peebles, the first black man to direct a feature motion picture, and it was the story of a three-day pass. Mr. Van Peebles, we are being led to believe that Hollywood is beginning to open up. We have noticed with much interest the attention that's being directed to Jim Brown, the former football player who has made a number of feature films. And, of course, we've watched with interest the success of Mr. Patio over the past 15 years. But the so-called success, or the new inroads that seems to be beckoning to the black performer, is this a snail's pace, or is it increasing, or how do you evaluate it?
Well, it'll increase at the speed the man thinks he can make bread out of it. Actually, there now Hollywood has a black director, Gordon Parks, who's doing a film there. And
this is photographer Gordon Parks?
That's right. He's doing a feature. I won $100 off that, by the way, because I bet the cat 6 months after I went to the San Francisco Film Festival and screamed on the folks that there was a black director that existed, and he had to go outside of their own country to get it. Hollywood would have a black director. And they have Mr. Park, who's doing a fine job. In his contract, he has stipulated that a certain number of blacks have to be hired, and so forth, which is a very fine thing. So, it's moving along. If Hollywood or any segment of the American economy will be willing to be followers, to be leaders instead of followers, that remains to be seen. I'm very dubious about that, Jay.
You mentioned at the beginning of your statement that as long as the man can make bread, am I inclined to believe that there is really no human interest in this particular area, that this seems to be a new trend? Or
no, I mean, it's a subject, but actually they're discovering it won't be a subject that will die out by a fad, because the millions of black people in America aren't a fad. I mean, they're going to be here for a while, and Hollywood is just awakening to the potential of these people, and also, for the moment, the potential of the interracial mixture, and also the actual brilliant potential of many Negroes as actors. You know, we got a lot of great black actors and actresses.
Well, would this interest also have anything to do with the fact that I think Variety reported some months ago that blacks support about 60%, or the customers, I should say, for film houses represent about 60% among blacks, primarily because blacks still look upon films as a major entertainment vehicle, and that this means millions of dollars at the box office? Would this have anything to do with it?
Oh, it probably, the trend had already started in actuality, but it didn't hurt it at all.
I see.
And, the real problem is, as far as I can see it, not if Hollywood will use blacks in films. They will. For example, now, I've been offered on a number of occasions films with a black subject in Hollywood, which I've had to turn down, because I hope all blacks will take this stand, as they took a stand on the Nat Turner. And that is, I refuse to make any film about a black as a major character or a major theme without a final cut. That is, the large majority of films in Hollywood are made without the director, even though he signs the film having final say-so. And I'm not about to let a white man explain to me what a black man is, should feel, or think. And this is done with no humility at all. I mean,
Could you explain when you say that films are made without a director?
Well, without a director having final cut.
Oh,
the
I see.
Final cut means the last word, in effect. That's really break it down out of the job. It means the last word. That is, you can make a film. Like they're making a film about Che Guevara now, where he recounts at the end and so forth, been reported. They could easily make a film whereas they have a black director and a black scriptwriter, and at the end of the film, the film is all done. The producer, well, I don't like that last scene, we'll reshoot it. He doesn't even have to reshoot the same director. It may be an entirely different meaning to the film.
Well, now, is this common with white directors as well?
Oh, yeah, it's very common. It's very common, and it happens all the time, and directors are always screaming and so forth. But I think, and this is often the argument advanced to me, well, it's common. I think some of the things that are common, the man feeling that his foot is an integral part of my rear has been common. And I think these things just have to be changed.
Well, Orphan, I'm just curious to kind of draw some kind of analogy here. Who are some of the major directors who have this in their contract that they can shoot a film and direct it from beginning to end and also have the last say so, have the editing say so? Can you recall any Orphan?
Any American director who has that. They have other clauses, like they get two previews, that is, the film can be shown twice before the company can come in, etc., etc. But outside of those who are producing, who have managed to stay 15 years in the business and acquire enough money to produce their own films, they don't have it. Now, in Europe, it's a different thing. European directors traditionally have final cut and are quite horrified by the Hollywood system.
Our conversation tonight, The Problems of a Black Filmmaker, and our guest calling in is Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, and we'll go this time to New York to Mr. Adler, who's hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Adler? I'm sorry, we have a technical problem. All right, to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Miss Rice is hearing Night Call over WAMO-FM. Miss Rice?
Hello, Mr. Shields. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
You're fantastic. You're one of the best hosts in the country. Mr. Van Peebles,
yes.
You mentioned, I've read a couple of reviews about your film. It hasn't come here. I don't know if it ever will. But you mentioned something about, first of all, I see you as a black artist. And I was wondering if you could talk a little more. You mentioned something at the beginning about, you know, white America's difficulty in understanding the alternative black culture or something like this, you said.
That's right.
And I was wondering if you could talk, you know, if we could raise this conversation a little higher than that first man's conversation, our question. And if you could talk in terms of, as a black artist, about how you see, you know, the destiny of black American culture and the whole explosion of what's going on now.
Well, I did Dale plant you because this is a question I've been dying to answer.
The biggest show. You know, I get mad at some of the people who call in because, well, I know the show is.
Well, listen, now let me go ahead and answer. We won't talk about that.
I know,
you know,
but I know the show isn't just for me, but I've worked up my nerve and called, and I would just like for you to give the national audience, you know, a little taste about what some black artists are talking about.
Right. Well, now, for example, I had a long rap the other day with a guy who wanted to interview me, and he was speaking about how there were no black writers. I said, man, how would you know a black writer if you saw one? And the guy said, well, I said, now, if you had a book about Ghana, you would look at that book about Ghana or Nigeria or Tibet with a little bit of respect about something maybe you didn't know, right? Yeah. I said, well, now Harlem, do you know everything about Harlem? He said, well, maybe a couple of things, baby. Harlem is as foreign to you as Nigeria, Ghana. And until you realize that and admit it and insist that you judge us by your yardstick and say, I mean, I've had cats say, no, man, write it to me really the way a black cat feels. I mean, I said, well, now, how would you know how I feel? The difficulty is, and this is very interesting, for example, in music, I'm not talking about the lyrics, but I'm talking about the music itself. It's one of the few areas where we've been able to tell it like it is to each other because the white cat couldn't even understand what we weren't saying. So he interpolated it. For example, I have a book that just came out and called A Bear for the FBI, which is a calm book. All right, so, but I read in the paper, the guy said, this is an indictment of violence. Forget it, man. It's not an indictment of violence, but he really reads into it what he wants to read into it. Now, he doesn't take into account our lyricism of words, any use of words that he doesn't know. Cass is not, and I was saying something about rap. He said, well, that word doesn't exist. What do you mean it doesn't exist? Well, people don't use it. I don't know it. I mean, by people, he means white people. I said, look, man, there are millions of us who use it and who know what it's talking about. And as long as you refuse, and it behooves a man, and it keeps us in a paranoid, schizophrenic situation, by him saying, well, if I don't see it, it don't exist. And unfortunately, by our very historical tradition of how we came here, we hadn't had enough power to refute him. Black is beautiful. I mean, beauty was only one idea of beauty, and that was that Norwegian-looking chick with the blue eyes. And anyone who didn't come up to that standard couldn't be beautiful. She could look strange or peculiar, but she couldn't be beautiful. Until the final understanding, final agreement that this alternative culture does exist, we're in trouble. He's in trouble.
Who would you say are sort of, you know, I hate to use the word, but prophets, or, you know, the bright young people on the scene that we should be listening to?
Me.
You're kind of egotistical, but
No, forget it. I'm just saying like I feel it.
Well, I mean, who else would you say people should be listening to? Black people.
Listen, well, look, I mean, Elders is telling it like it is, this form. In fact, you see what happens. I feel that many of the black people up there now today are saying just like it is. Unfortunately, we, again, must use, this is what black people must be very aware of when they criticize sometimes other blacks in position, is that...
Mr. Van Peebles, I'm going to ask you to hold your point. Ms. Rice, thank you for calling me. Have to break for station identification. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, The Problems of a Black Filmmaker is our conversation tonight as we're rapping with Melvin Van Peebles. We'll return to Mr. Van Peebles right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest filmmaker Melvin Van Peebles after station identification. Night Call welcomes your comments about this nationwide listener call-in program. Your opinions and reactions are of value to the producers of Night Call in their continuing attempt to initiate and stimulate dialogue between the black man in the street and his white counterpart. Please address your comments to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. The producers of Night Call attempt to balance the points of view presented on this series about controversial issues. In keeping with this traditional concern for free expression on controversial matters, Night Call invites requests for equal time from responsible representatives on opposing points of view if it's thought they have not been adequately represented on the air. Such requests should be addressed to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to Night Call guest Melvin Van Peebles about the problems of a black filmmaker. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us nightly for the second half hour. Our conversation tonight, the problems of a black filmmaker, and our guest calling in from New York City, Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, the first black man to direct a feature motion picture, and that particular motion picture was called The Story of a Three-Day Pass, which was produced in France. We'll begin this half hour by going out to Miami, Florida. Miss Otto is hearing Night Call over WAME. Miss Otto?
Hello.
Good evening.
Yes, is this Mr. Peebles?
Yes, it is.
Mr. Van Peebles, I just have to tell you I'm delighted to hear you on the phone tonight because I've known only your face and your presence in the office of Kaplan Livingston in Paris.
Oh, seriously? Yeah.
And I'm the tall blonde girl who used to work there just through this summer. Maybe you remember.
Sure, I do, sure.
Tall American girl. And
yeah.
So I've actually so overwhelmed to be talking to you on the phone that I didn't think of anything to ask you about your problems.
Well, I've got plenty of them.
I bet you do. Well, I hope that they're solving themselves more and more, are they?
Well, the problem is I don't want this... you see, we're often urged, America... usually treats the black artist in this way.
Yeah,
as you're going along, when you're down, they try and make you a part of the mass. When they're up, they offer you individuality. And I refuse to be elevated or for us to be pushed along any faster than my other brothers. You haven't seen the cover of the album, I guess, because you don't know it.
No, listen, I only got to know really of you, and I'm so embarrassed about it, only through the office, you know, and seeing you there. You used to come in all these colorful clothes from the south of France, and, you know, after your trips down there.
Come on, colorful, that was the only clothes I had.
And you used to wear those terrible buttons on your lapels.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's where it's at, baby.
I know, and you said that's what happiness is, remember?
Yeah, sure do.
I appreciate hearing you talk about this, and I just, you know, I hope that when you go back, when are you going back to Paris?
I don't know, as soon as I wake up the car for you, unless something happens to you.
No, oh, God, I'm not in very much of a position to help you, but I wish you a lot of luck anyway.
Oh, no sweat. Thanks.
No, because honestly, I do think of you. You know, I think of you often. You always used to color up my day tremendously when you came into the offices. I hate to admit it now.
Why?
But because it was always a lot of fun seeing you come in and out of there to Madame Heilbrunn's, remember?
Of course. That's, yeah. You know, no, never that to me. Don't be her husband might be listening. You know, cool it.
Oh, she wouldn't. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't worry about all these indiscretions anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Miss Otto, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Up to Boss.
Everybody keep my old card, man. I ain't gonna be able to go nowhere.
Now, this time we'll go up to Boston. Mr. Warren is hearing Night Call over WBUR FM. Mr. Warren?
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Your question, sir?
I would like to ask him. They've made films, all sorts of films, about what's supposed to be the Negro environment, you know, here in America. And but they don't really, they seem to like to show, you know, the more violent aspects, you know, of I guess black city life, rather than some, you know, some of the more tender aspects. An exception was a film called Nothing But a Man, which was, you know, a very, very tender film. And his film, to ask him if this is a trend. You know, are they starting to do more of these kinds of things showing the warmer side?
Oh, I don't know, babe. I think the black violence is for the moment going to be a thing for the black filmmaker to do, because I feel that but not the black violence directed as blacks among themselves, just directed at the how can you not be violent in a system that is perpetrated on violence,
right,
baby?
Right.
When a baby gets his nose chewed off by a rat in the ghetto, that's
right.
violence, baby.
That's
when
right.
you're underemployed, baby, that is violence,
right.
man. Not when you don't get that job, which you're overqualified, man. That is violence. And all of these things are violence. Now, there's, as you said, a completely other aspect. But I think this other aspect must be done by black filmmakers themselves. Now, despite all these films that Hollywood has turned out, crying about the blacks. No one cried enough to let a black director behind the camera
That's
pick
true.
Up that paycheck.
That's very true.
I think as black filmmakers move in the cinema, that all aspects of the black life will be mirrored. You did?
Right.
And Mr. Van Peebles, isn't there a conflict, though, when you think in terms of the cinema being an artistic medium and at the same time being a medium that earns annually a great deal of money, and you have a lot of money riding on the success of a film? Do we not get into the area, though, as to whether or not the producers are to be social scientists or are they to be business people?
Could I comment on that?
Certainly.
I think that movies pretty generally reflect the times. I don't think that, I think the kinds of movies, you know, like we're in a Vietnam thing and you turn on your TV, for instance, and all you see is war movies. And I don't see any conflict at all. I think that, like, since movies do reflect the times, I don't think, like, anybody would be unwilling, you know, to produce it. You know, no more so than they have been unwilling up to this point.
Well, the question I was raising, I think, is something similar to television. There have been a lot of complaints about television being the vast wasteland since the days of Mr. Newt Minow when he first uttered that.
Wait a minute, but let me say one thing. You see, all these problems we're discussing now, forget it. Them are all white problems up to date. Forget them, man. I mean, let's don't start in with the man's bed. Let's wipe and come on with a brand new clean slate. Let's leave his problem. This is like when the cat says to me, but this is what we've been doing in Hollywood. I don't give a, you know, about what you've been doing. This is the way we are going to do it if you are going to deal with me. Well, not nationally, I ain't in Hollywood. But if enough filmmakers who have shown a commercial potential, etc., etc., do make this stand, they'll come around. They'll come around. It's and I think forget them.
Well, let's look for a moment at the directors who are coming around. You have a new picture coming out called Uptight.
Right.
Jules Dassin's picture, which I think will be released sometime in December. I have not seen the film, but I know some of the people involved, and Mr. Dassin was one of our guests. Now, from what we understand, this will probably be one of the most provocative films and probably one of the most realistic films that's ever been produced concerning the black problem. But what I'm concerned about...
It ain't the black problem, it's the white problem, but I know what you mean.
Well... Depending upon whose eyes. But what I'm concerned about is that there have been... Now, the question, of course, is whether or not this is going to be a successful film. They're spending a lot of money to produce this film. They've had an excellent cast, and Mr. Dassin's a very excellent director. Now, if this film does not make money... Now, I'm not trying to go to the establishment's problem, but if the film does not make money, the film may be an artistic success, but commercially it will be... a failure.
Right. Now, let me explain why I said forget the establishment problem. Films do not have to cost that much. It is only the system itself. You see what I mean? We're entering already into the argument. Films don't have to cost those billions of dollars. You can even make very... I mean, look, Closely Watched Chains cost $200,000. My film, I cost $200,000. A Man and a Woman cost $270,000. You understand me? If you load it with certain necessities that aren't necessities except a banker sitting in Hollywood in the first place. Then you're already thinking through his term, and then $3 million, you can make $200,000 on a television sale alone. $200,000 can be picked up easily on foreign distribution. I mean, it is only when you say going to a film that costs $9 million, costs $1 million, that this problem becomes. Do you see what I mean?
Well, what...
If the man, we allow him to give a certain entry and argument at the beginning, then we're saddled with those same possibilities. I would say the alternative, instead of making these dinosaurs, these road shows of costing $15 million, I mean, what more of an indictment? The way they sell a film now is that they spend so much money on it, and that's an inducement. Well, for those type of people, it'll always be an inducement. They must go to see those films. But there are other films that are feasibly... To make back their money, that is commercial success, which can be much more adventurous at a much lower price.
Well, the method that has been used by some of the directors of the films you've mentioned, is it possible that that method of financing or that kind of programming could be transferred to America and be done here?
It's very possible, but I mean, when I said that, for example, I went out, we were discussing a project, I said, look, fellas, I can bring you this in for $400,000, you want it in America, I'm speaking of. Great, but let's see, let's put in Masha and Truk and Mrs. So-and-so, who demands $750,000 herself. You dig what I mean? And now look, my wife would like a trip out to the coast anyway, so we'll have to come, that goes on the budget. So you got $1 million film. So then I got to come back, I got to make $1 million film, which means, well, look, since it has to be $1 million, we've got to play in Mississippi, so we'll have to cut this scene out. And also, so-and-so wouldn't like this in New Haven. And then, you know, you finish up with another forage pot. No onions, because so-and-so don't like onions. No hot peppers, because so-and-so don't like this. We better change that, so forth and so on. You dig?
Right. Mr. Warren?
It's very possible with independent financing. Then when you come to independent finance, you step into the second problem, the problem of distribution. Then you step into the problem of unions. Now, the unions, I was yesterday, and a couple times, the guys are always talking to me. They said, will you make a film on Hollywood? I said, never happened, baby. Not as long as those unions, 90% of those cats are voting for Wallace. And you never see a black face walking behind a camera around there. Now, and I got to trust these guys. Man, I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't even trust them to bring me a beer cold. Why am I going to trust them to focus it?
Mr. Warren, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. The Problems of a Black Filmmaker, our conversation tonight with Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, the first black man to direct a feature motion picture. And this time out to Indianapolis, Indiana, Mr. Devlin is hearing Night Call over WTLC-FM. Mr. Devlin?
Yes?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question, sir.
Well, I'd like to talk to Mr. Van Peebles, asking him, what did he think are the chances for a young black filmmaker to produce a film in America? Because, well, I make motion pictures, and I wanted to, well, I've been trying to get finances to make a product of proof so that I could go into the field, because I had a theory or the belief that if Negroes could get together and, well, produce films, something that would be acceptably commercial, that they could benefit United Negro College Fund or Negro businesses through this way.
Well, they could, yes. I mean, that's a very groovy idea, and there are a number of blacks working on that problem now, me being one of them. There is a Cliff Frazier you can write to at the American Film Institute, who is also working on this problem, which is the address, 26 West 56th Street. Got that?
This is in New York.
That's right.
Okay.
And, we're trying to get together, and a lot of other people trying to get together. Well, you see, traditionally, we haven't yet learned that pooling of resources and so forth. And unfortunately, I'd like to go back to the woman I spoke to in Pittsburgh to explain this to her. There are many black brothers and sisters. She asked, and this dovetails into what you asked me. She asked me the question of who can we listen to? And I was trying to make the point that the black man, even to speak, must go through the white man's medium. So you must sift everything 7 times, because very subtly he works often to cut the head of a are the individuals who could stand for the black masses from the black masses. And this isn't done as directly, as simply as making him say a Tom statement or so forth. I've run across, to my surprise, who just began to move in these echelons, many blacks who are working very subtly but very determinedly for us in these fields. I mean, Mr. Shields will probably never say it, you know, but I know Dale, the things he's done and so forth, that we never get to hear about. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
And I think if we learn to pool our resources and have the possibility of pooling our resources, not only for cinema, but for theater, for all the endeavors, many good things can come out of many of the benefits, instead of just flowing out generally into the nebulous corporation funds, can be put again to the betterment for the black race in America.
Mr. Devlin, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Our guest, Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, will return to our guest following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest filmmaker Melvin Van Peebles after station identification. Monday night on Night Call, Law and Order, with professional radical Tom Hayden, who at the advanced age of 28, many members of the student left say, is past it, a member of the older generation. Tom Hayden involved in, or at least near the scene of, most major violent and nonviolent demonstrations of the 60s, including the first march on Washington, Selma, Alabama, Newark, New Jersey, the march on the Pentagon, the student takeover at Columbia, and of course Chicago during the Democratic Convention. Some say he's the new Norman Thomas, with about the same mix of vision and pragmatism. Others call him that new left radical. He has spent more time in North Vietnam than any other American who isn't a prisoner of war, and he stood in the honor guard at Senator Kennedy's bier. Law and Order? Question mark. With Tom Hayden, a co-founder of the Students for a Democratic Society, Monday night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in North America to Night Call guest Melvin Van Peebles about the problems of a black filmmaker. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our conversation tonight, The Problems of a Black Filmmaker, with our guest, Mr. Melvin Van Peebles. And this time out to Fort Worth, Texas, Mrs. Rowland is hearing Night Call over KNOK-FM. Mrs. Rowland?
Hello?
Hello.
I want you to know that I'm really enjoying y'all. I have only called one time, and I like to always call and let y'all know that I'm listening, and I always do listen, and I'd like to say may God bless all of you all and keep the good work up.
We want to thank you, ma'am.
Night night.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you. The Problems of a Black Filmmaker. Mr. Van Peebles, we have discussed briefly the situation in Hollywood, and of course when we talk about Hollywood, we have to talk about the film capitals, I suppose, of all of the world, since movies are being made around the world as such. But when we talk about the possibility of black films, now, are we talking only of black subjects being treated?
No, absolutely not. I mean, we should never get into the man's bag of allowing ourselves to be back into a cultural ghetto. I mean, he makes films on any subject he chooses. I don't see why we have to only make subjects. The white man must learn that we exist outside of the confrontation of him and society. We have our own thing going. Straight black, we can have our own thing going, with having nothing to do with the American thing, if a black filmmaker chooses. For example, now, I mean, you know, for example, I just made an album. I did the album about black thing was because I had complete power. But if I hadn't had complete power, I would have made an album about, you know, Lilies in the Field, anything else, you dig? And then tell. But once we have complete power, I think that a black cat will choose to make films or whatever he's doing about blacks if he wants to. but it's his privilege to choose as an artist what he wants to work about. Do you understand? And what he has to do is look within himself and find what fascinates him. Maybe he wants to write about science fiction. When a white guy writes about science fiction, no one says a word. A black guy writes about science fiction, no, do your thing. Meaning, do your pirouette within the pigeonhole I've set up for you.
Well, there's been some discussion about the possibility of a film on the life of Malcolm X. Have you heard anything?
I've heard discussion about it, but nobody ever asked me about it. I mean, you know, I'm sure that with the price of the property, this, that, and the other, and probably the price of the film, I'm excluded from directing it because I'm not going to do a film about Malcolm or any other brother anytime where, as the final say-so, comes from a white cat. Forget it. I mean, that's all down the line. Books, film, albums, or anything else. And I think we just have to take that stand.
All right, let's take a call this time from New Jersey, Mr. Van Peebles. Mr. Hammond is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Hammond?
Yes, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. My name is Mr. Hammond. I have a couple of questions for Mr. Van Peebles.
Go right ahead, sir.
Hello, Mr. Van Peebles.
Hey.
Good evening, sir. First of all, I would like to know, why is it that your picture, A 3 Day Pass, didn't make such a big hit in the New Jersey, New York area? I've missed seeing it because I was away, but I haven't seen it around. I can't find it in the papers in New Jersey, New York, or Philadelphia. Or any particular reason for this, sir?
I don't know. It stayed, I think, 5 weeks at the New York theater. After that, I really don't know.
Records or producers or the New York critics might have had something to do with it?
Well, I had very good reviews in New York. I don't know. You see, there's a great temptation to, now I'm speaking for a very personal thing for me, as being the first black, et cetera, to follow my baby and keep up with it. Do you understand me? And just make that sort of my lifelong work that work. You understand?
Yeah.
So, just psychologically, I've divorced myself completely from that film. I'm sorry I have to answer this. This isn't a very large question. It's just a very personal question. Why I'm giving an answer, why I'm asking you this way. I had myself personally divorced myself from the film and go into other things. Otherwise, it was too flattering, too tempting to become the guy who did the film. You understand?
But what is there?
I haven't really followed the career of the film.
Well, like I said, we're very proud of you, sir, as our first black director. Do you plan to do anything else, in another field or in pictures or
online? Well, we were just saying, I just finished an album that called Brer Soul, which is the thing I like the best of everything I've ever done because I had complete freedom and I figured I'd rather make a good album than a bad film. Now, I haven't been given the possibility of making a film that I felt could be a good film.
When's the album coming out?
Huh?
When's the album coming out?
It came out yesterday. It's the NM Brasso.
Come on, see if I can pick it up.
You can't miss the cover, baby. It's right soulful.
That's what we need today, more soul.
That's what it's at.
Well, look, see some more pictures. You know, the good thing about black directors is that when you project a black man in movies, take him out of the stereotype, you know, let him as a man should be today.
Right, like, let him be a human being, you dig?
Some of a lot of pictures come out today, you know, either he dies at the end or he plays the role of a junkie.
If he kisses a white chick for at least 10 years ago, at least 3 years ago, you knew he was going to die somewhere.
That's
Mr. Hammond.
Lived through a picture yet.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. Our guest tonight, Mr. Melvin Van Peebles, will return to our guest right after our billboard for What's Happening on Night Call next week.
Next week on Night Call, a new left American revolutionary, a crime psychiatrist, a spokesman for the homosexuals of America, the black co-star of Mission Impossible, and a black television correspondent. Monday, co-founder Tom Hayden of the Students for a Democratic Society. Tuesday, Dr. James Brussel, the crime psychiatrist who helped solve the mysteries of the Mad Bomber, the Wiley murders, the Boston Strangler, and the Coppolino case. Wednesday, a mystery member of the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. Thursday, actor Greg Morris of Mission Impossible. And Friday, Bob Teague of NBC News. All this coming week on Night Call. Again, Del Shields.
And just to be reminded to our Night Call listeners that Night Call will once again be going on the road next week. We'll be in Washington on Thursday, and we'll be broadcasting from the conference of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters. So we'll be looking for you, and certainly hope that you'll be looking for us. That'll be Thursday evening. Now, Mr. Van Peebles, I think we have time for another call, do we not? Yes, all right. This time we'll take a local call. Mr. Freeman is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Freeman?
Mr. Peebles.
Yay.
How are you, brother?
You will.
Listen, I'm on two cases. My first case is a collective question, and my second thing is a personal question, all right?
Go ahead.
All right. My first thing is I'd like to mention that we're involved in the thing of taking film to the community, such as the Battle of Algiers.
Yeah.
And specifically, the case is that we're showing the Battle of Algiers on the 23rd at the Bronx Community.
Groovy, it's a great film, baby.
Dig it. And we're trying to get 1,800 people out for it. And we got information, Liberation Bookstore, University of the Streets, New Breed, and all this other thing. That's number one. And the admission is 50 cents, which, in a sense, sort of limits our appeal because the film is so expensive. The film costs us $375 for one day.
Yeah.
35mm print, principally had to rent 35mm projectors.
Hip.
Now, we've run into certain problems. Number one, to find within the black community someone that would be community-minded enough to run a 35mm projector at two different showings and do it for free. That's our first problem because we haven't, at least in terms of my experience, we have not got the type of technical understanding yet
right.
to like, learn how to do this thing.
Right.
You see?
Now, what is that? Is it Bunston or Chancellor? Listen, this, you call Dell a little later, and he'll give you my number and so forth, and we can talk about it, okay?
Solid.
Because that's, you know, that's very technical. I don't think, but I might ask if I can find someone who can work one of those projectors.
Solid. That's the first case. And the second case is this. I'm a young man, I'm about 22, and I've been in New York most of my life. I've been interested in studying film. I've been studying film on my own. I've been doing still photography. Now, the thing is, I would like to go and work on a BFA in photography so that I could get the technical nature of film so that I could learn about it. Yet, the thing is, I don't want to go and study underneath a Euro-American, I'll put it this way. I don't want to study under a Euro-American because I don't want to learn his approach to my thing, you see.
Well, baby, the best thing you can ever learn, get yourself a book and a camera, that's just what I did, and forget everything else, man. Do your thing, man, and come up with a whole new thing. They got nothing to tell you, man. They got nothing to tell you. It's like your pencil and a piece of paper. They really got nothing to tell you. The technical, few technical things you can learn that from him. I mean, that doesn't
matter. Mr. Freeman, we want to thank you for calling, and as Mr. Van Peebles said, if you call me after the show, we'll give you his number.
Thank you
so much.
Good night.
Mr. Van Peebles, we want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
First of all, I want to thank all those folks out there listening. You know what I mean? Because life is like a rowboat. You think you're in the fog. You're yelling. You think you're yelling all alone.
Melvin, thank you so much for being with us.
Great.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Monday night, same time, same station, Law and Order with professional radical Tom Hayden. Listen Monday night, discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition. We'll be right back.